today, on today's program, I'm going to show you how something that seems to be innocent, it can actually be a bait of Satan that he uses to keep you in a cycle of defeat and even produce a stronghold in your mind. So let's get after it today.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? This is End Time Headlines. It is Tuesday, August the 27th. We want to welcome tonight's program. Before we get started tonight, we got a couple things we need to go over. First of all, I need you to do me a favor and smash that like button. Hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification. These are going to be beneficial to you to keep up with our ministry on these social media platforms, but it's also beneficial to us because it helps us get the word out. And you can help us by doing that simple thing, just hitting that like button. It's going to help push this out on these algorithms as well. And of course, guys, if you want to know the best way to keep up with our ministry, above all things, you can subscribe to the sites and these things are good. But the best, absolute best way to keep up with us is download our free app. And you're going to see it's available on Apple and Android devices. You go to your Play Store, depending on what your device is. You can find us, type in End Time Headlines, look for our official trademarked ETH logo. And once you download our app, be sure to hit push notifications. And once you do that, you're going to get every headline, every podcast, every breaking news, every alert, all the information that we put out. Is going to be right there at your fingertips. This is the best, absolute best way to keep up with our ministry, especially as the grip continues on snuffing out these free speech platforms. So we have an app. We have made contingency plans, guys. If Rumble goes down, YouTube goes down, we'll stream straight from our website. So we already have contingency plans set up. So, but until the meantime, again, this is the best way to do this. And again, of course, if you're new to the broadcast, first time joining us, let us know in the comment section below that you are new, where you guys are joining us from. We'd appreciate that. And I want to welcome you. I am Ricky Scaprell, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. At this time, we want to welcome all of our podcast audience, you guys on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you may get your podcast. We welcome you as well. So tonight, if you're just joining us, you're just hopping on, this is not an information segment tonight. Tonight, you're going to need your Bible. You're going to need your notebook. You're going to need some coffee, some tea, something to get some caffeine in you, because I want you to pay attention and be alert, because we're going to talk about nostalgia. We're going to talk about nostalgia tonight. Nostalgia, by definition, is a sentimental longing or wistful affection for the, listen to this, for the past, typically for a period or a place in time that we have experienced, where we derive happy personal associations. I'm gonna repeat that real quick. But before I do this, let me give you a little bit of backdrop of why I'm even talking about this. How I got this message was several weeks ago. I was laying in bed, getting ready to go to sleep, and I was in that state of where you're right about to drift off to sleep, and it was almost like I heard in my spirit audibly, nostalgia is the bait of Satan. I have never heard this preached. I didn't get this out of a book. This was something I heard in my spirit. So, of course, I quickly pulled out my phone and I took notes on this on my phone because I wanted to make sure I kept that. And I knew that that was going to be the match that was lit for a future message. So, of course, I took that, began to dig into this with the help of the Holy Spirit, and that's where we are tonight, and that's what we're going to talk about. So let me give you this definition again. Nostalgia is a sentimental longing or wistful affection for the past, typically for a period or place in our lives that is associated with happy or personal associations. For example, let's talk about nostalgia. Everyone, every single one of us have experienced this. Now, I used to think nostalgia was something that older people did a lot more than younger people. And that's still debatable. Because I remember growing up, and I would go to a McDonald's, or I'd go to a coffee shop, and you see a lot of older people. And the funny thing is I'm almost to that age. But we're talking about, and I say almost, but typically 50-something, upper 50s, 60s, 70s, you'd see these older seniors sitting around drinking coffee, eating some donuts, eating an egg and cheese biscuit, whatever, at McDonald's. And I would sit across from them in the booth, and I would sit there having my breakfast. I remember this was years ago, guys. I was in probably my early 20s at this time. And I would just kind of like, I was kind of like a fly on the wall and just listen to what these, I used to call them old timers. Listen, that's not a derogatory term at all. I don't mean any disrespect, but I would listen to these old timers talk. And inevitably, their discussions always centered around what they would call the good old days. Their entire conversation was centered, watch this, around nostalgic experiences. For example, Jim and Bob and Steve and Larry would sit around and they would talk about the days in which the city that at that time that I lived in was so much different. There was certain grocery stores that did not no longer exist. For example, I grew up in a place, and most of y'all ain't going to know what this is, so that's okay. But I grew up in Louisville, Kentucky. That's where I was born. I was born in Louisville, Kentucky, but then we moved out to a place called Shepherdsville, Kentucky. Very small town. Oh, and it's not small anymore, but when I grew up, it was a very small town. We had one grocery store at first, and it was called Winn-Dixie. I didn't even know Winn-Dixie still existed until I went to up towards North Carolina. And now all of a sudden in North Carolina, close to Alabama, I saw all kinds of Winn-Dixies. And I was like, wow. And it was, and watch this, and it was very nostalgic for me because my mother and I would, I remember being a little boy and she would take me with her to the grocery store, which was Winn-Dixie, and I would go grocery shopping. So it was very nostalgic. There was a nostalgic period of time where this surfaced happy and personal associations with that. It was very nostalgic. So in this small town that I grew up in, at the time it was small, had one grocery chain. It had one movie rental place that rented VHS tapes. Come on, some of you young cats don't even know what I'm talking about right there. But we used to have the VHS. Come on, be kind, rewind. Once you get those fees, you make sure you rewind those tapes before you return them back to your Blockbuster or whatever that company was. We had local mom and pop stores instead of Blockbuster. We didn't have a Blockbuster. Our town was so small, we didn't have such a thing. We had these mom and pop video rentals that you could take the videos back and you can rent them and you can get this. They didn't rent any video games at that time. It was just VHS tapes. So I remember growing up. There was a McDonald's and I would listen and they would talk about even before I was born how different the town looked and how they missed those things. And now that I am 47 years of age, I sit around and have conversations with others that are my age and even my children. And I talk to them about, you guys don't even know what it was like in my day. Come on, can I get a witness, somebody? When I grew up, we didn't stream anything. We went on a Friday night. Come on, how many grew up on a Friday nights? Come on, with Friday nights as pizza and movie nights. I loved Friday nights because it meant that we would get some pizza and we would go to the movie store and we'd pick out at least minimum two, sometimes three movies because they would have a sale many times on Fridays. You could get three for $5 or something like that. You could rent movies. And we would inevitably go to the new movie, the new release section at Blockbuster, and you'd find those movies. And so if I see a Blockbuster, I think there's only one remaining Blockbuster left in the entire nation of the United States. Where is that? Up in, I want to say it's in, correct me if I'm wrong, Is it Colorado or where is that? There's only one left, and I don't even know where that's at. And I probably messed that up. It's probably not Colorado. Maybe it's Idaho or somewhere. I know that there's one remaining, or at least there was one remaining Blockbuster Video left. The actual physical brick and mortar store. It's the only one left. It's the relic. It's the dinosaur of its time. So inevitably, we've all done this. We'd sit around, and even as society changes, I find myself, watch this, longing for a time in the past where there was much simpler times. There was no cell phones. There was no social media. There wasn't angry and contentious people all the time everywhere you went, where people was always offended at everything. Has anybody long for the time when there was two genders and not 370? Has anybody long for the time when men played men's sports and women played women's sports? Anybody long for the time when you used to be able to take your family and watch wholesome family entertainment like America's Funniest Home Videos that was clean and wholesome? Or you could watch these programs on a Friday night, TGIF, come on. And they were pretty wholesome. They were pretty clean. Has anybody long for that? Because I can't find that anymore. Because society has gone, come on, downhill. We're in these perilous times where there's so much evil and there's so much wickedness that, come on, if you've not succumbed to that stuff, you will long for those good times when those things existed. So listen, nostalgic is great. Some of you guys, and it's so crazy how it works. You will smell a perfume and it will remind you of an ex-girlfriend or an ex-wife. You'll smell a cologne, ladies, and it'll remind you of your ex-boyfriend or ex-husband. You'll go to a place and it'll remind you of a past relationship or a date that you went on that was good or it was bad. You'll go to you'll see a movie and it'll remind you. And here's a big one, music. Now, we're going to cover all this in a minute. And I'm going to talk about how this is good. There's nothing wrong with nostalgia in itself, but there is an element to this that Satan will, if we allow it, he will creep in and use this as a bait to lure you in and bring you into captivity. Now, I want you to turn with me, if you have your Bible, especially you guys listen by Apple and Spotify or by podcast, turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 11. I'm going to show you how nostalgia became a vice or a stronghold to the children of Israel, to God's people. Ready? Let's read it. Now, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it. Notice there's complaining, God hears it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Verse 2. Now look at this. Then the people cried out to Moses. Now remember, Moses was a picture of the senior pastor of his time. He was the leader. He was the shepherd leading these people out of bondage into captivity. But before they went from bond, or excuse me, he was leading them out of bondage to the promised land. And in between that is called the wilderness. So they're in this wilderness state, leading them out of, come on, the bondage, the shackles, the chains, the strongholds. He's leading them out of this. You would think they'd be grateful. You think they'd be, jubilant about this. But watch this. As time progressed, you'd be surprised how our attitudes change when we're in the testing phase, testing grounds. We're in the wilderness. So they're in the wilderness. And the Bible says that the complaining is already happening among the camp. Verse 2. And then the people cried out to Moses. And when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. So again, Moses stood in the gap. So he called the name of the place Tabarah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. Now the mixed multitude who were among them, here it is, yielded to intense craving. I'm going to highlight this. This is very important. They yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again. So they're yielding. Notice that the weeping is in conjunction with the yielding. Oh, let me say that again. The weeping is in conjunction with the yielding. Now, what are they yielding to? Talk to me. Intense craving. Look at this. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, look at this. Who will give us meat to eat? Now, look what they say here. Look at their own testimony. Verse 5. We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt. Okay, stop. So you notice here, these are the same people that cried out for 400 years. Lord, save us from our captivity. Lord, this bondage is too much. Lord, the labor is too intense. Lord, come help us. Lord, deliver us. Lord, raise us up a deliverer. Get us out of here. God, help us. I mean, they're fasting, they're weeping, they're sackcloth and ashes. They are crying out to the Lord for their deliverance of 400 years of captivity. God hears their prayers, raises up a man by the name of Moses, comes in, does signs, wonders, and miracles among them. God sends 10 plagues, releases them out of Egypt, brings them out with silver and gold, and not one feeble one among them, brings them into the wilderness where there's a fire by night and a cloud by day. Supernatural things are happening. God is working his miracles for these people, but the intense craving begins to rise up. Why? Oh, I'm going to preach in just a minute, but let me go ahead and just get warmed up right here. See, just because, look, there's a lot of people that God delivers you out of Egypt. God delivers you out of your sin. He delivers you out of your captivity. He delivers you out of your bondage. Come on. But the problem is, if you don't get Egypt out of you, eventually, listen to me, it's not when you are on fire for God. It's not when you've been praying and when you have a prayer life. It's not when you're in your devotional time. It's not when you're in the presence of God or you're in fellowship with other believers. Because listen to me, anybody can worship God in the presence of the church and the church people. Anybody can be on fire for God when we're in the middle of a revival service or a conference. Come on, somebody. But listen, but here's what happens. Oh, come on. People get into a state of a wilderness. They go through a dry season. They get in a dry season and they don't feel like praying as much anymore. So they slack off on their praying. They slack off on their Bible reading. They slack off on their church attendance. After all, we got to get the boys in baseball. We got to get the girls in their sport. We've got to participate in this. We've got to get them in this. We've got to do this. We've got this and that. We've got birthday parties and weddings to attend. We've got baseball games and football games and basketball games. We got to go to the golf meeting. We got to get out on the boat because it's, come on, fishing season. Come on, we got to go. It's hunting season. So that we come up with all these things, these vices and excuses and intense cravings. Come on, I'm telling you, this may not be for everybody, but there is men out there that they've been saved and born again. And they're on fire for God until hunting season comes. And you know what happens? They get in hunting season. And again, listen to me. As long as they've been faithfully attending church, they've been in their word, they've been in prayer, they've been in fellowship. When hunting season comes along, listen, there's nothing wrong with hunting. But if this intense craving becomes a stronghold where it pulls you out of the Bible, pulls you out of the church house, pulls you out of the fellowship with other believers, pulls you out of the presence of God to the point where it produces complaining. Well, Lord, where are you at? How come you ain't answer my prayers? I can't feel you anymore. I can't get breakthrough anymore. I can't get freedom over this particular stronghold or this or that anymore. And the Lord is sitting back, listen to me, saying, this is not on me, it's on you. The last time I checked, my Bible says, if you will draw near to him, he will draw near to you. Can I give you a truth right here? Listen, if you read the Old Testament, God pursued the individual. But if you go into the New Testament, the individual pursues God. Oh, I know that's deep right there. In the Old Testament, the Lord says that all through the Bible, he would visitate people. He showed up to Jacob and wrestled him with all night. He showed up in a burning bush to Moses. He showed up with Elijah in a fiery chariot of fire. He shows up, he calls, he separates, and he commissions people in the Old Testament. But then when you get to the New Testament, you'll read things like, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. You read things like, if you'll draw near unto me, I will draw near unto you. You read scriptures like, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you unto myself, and you shall be children of me. You shall be the children of the Most High. Come on. He says, what fellowship does light have with darkness? And come on, and evil with good. So you'll see there's a difference here in the Old Testament versus the New Testament. And this is why in the Bible, it talks about over and over again that God works through prayer. Listen, I am a product of other people interceding and travailing, come on, in the secret place for my salvation. And God honored their prayers. Every one of you that are born again and you're standing here today, it's because you had a praying grandmama, you had a praying mama, you had a praying daddy, a neighbor, a friend, a coworker. Somebody was the Moses for you and stood in the gap and made intercession for you until, come on, that promise was fulfilled, that God sought you and delivered you out of your Egypt. Most of us that are watching this today, God's brought you out of Egypt. But I want to ask you today, do you still have Egypt in you? Let me give you some warning signs. Let me give you an assessment on how you can discover whether or not you still have some Egypt in you. When you start saying some crazy stuff like, we remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt. So think about this, guys. These people were so hung up on the fish and the flesh that it superseded the bondage. Oh, come on. Are y'all getting this? Listen, if you want to know if you're backslid, do I have any ex-alcoholics in the house? I know that AAA and all these, and they want to tell you that once you're an alcoholic, you're always an alcoholic. Look, that's a bunch of baloney. That's garbage. That's from the pits of hell. Listen, I refuse to be labeled. God's called me. I am what the Word of God says, not what somebody else says. So I was an alcoholic. Come on, somebody. I was a drug addict. I was an adulterer. I was a fornicator. Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, and he says, be not deceived. He said, the ungodly shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Neither shall adulterers, neither shall idolaters, neither shall whoremongers, neither shall drunkards, neither shall homosexuals, neither shall sodomites, neither thieves. He said, nor any other thing that contradicts the word of God. He says, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But he says, and such were some of you. Do I have anybody in the house that were such some were of you? Such were some of you. You were those things, but you're no longer that anymore. The blind man in the Bible is, we call him the blind man. He's not the blind man anymore. He was once blind, but now he sees. The woman with the issue of blood. It was the woman that had the issue of blood. She no longer has it. The paralytic is no longer a paralytic. The lepers are no longer lepers. Stop letting the world and Satan label you. You are a son and a daughter of the Most High God if you've been brought out of darkness and into his marvelous light. So here, watch this. But if we're not careful and we find ourselves, come on, not doing the things that we need to do to keep the fire burning in our lives, to keep the gift of God stirred up, keep the fire burning, keep the oil in the lamp, you know what'll happen? Your flesh will begin to supersede your spirit. Paul said it like this, those that walk according to the flesh, Come on. He says they are walking in disobedience to God. They're walking, because they're walking in the flesh. They're walking in carnality. But those who walk in the Spirit, come on, are walking according to the Spirit of God, and they're sons of God. So when we, watch this, when we begin to fall away, we begin to backslide. One of the greatest indicators of this is when we begin to long for and we have a taste for the very thing that God delivered us out of. I mean, let's think about this for a second. How in the world could you, let's just use this as a hypothetical example. Here you are, you were once a drunkard. I mean, you were an alcoholic. You were at the bar at 10 a.m. You were drinking all day long. You were a functioning alcoholic. And then eventually it destroyed your marriage. It destroyed your relationship with your children. You lost your job. You lost your business. You lost everything. And you're at the lowest part. And then that's where you found Christ. And Christ delivered you out of the miry clay and set your feet upon the rock and established your goings. Praise God. He brought you out of Egypt, right? But then as time progresses, come on, you get around the wrong company, and they're lukewarm Christians. They don't really have a sold out walk with God. They're not on fire for God. They rarely go to church, and they're always partaking of everything else. And eventually. You start succumbing to that. You start here a little and there a little. You start doing this and you find yourself drifting. You start drifting. And then watch this. Then here is the crazy part. Then you find yourself longing for the taste of the bourbon that you used to drink. You used to long. Watch this. I'm still in my message tonight. You think I'm way off course. No. Listen, Satan shows up in the middle of the night, because he likes to show up, not in the middle of the day when you're busy, but he likes to show up when you're laying in bed and you're trying to get a good night's sleep and you're in that restful state and you're in that state where you're trying to rest your mind, you're trying to ease your mind, and you're trying to get into good night's sleep. That's when Satan tries to creep in. And watch this. So he shows up and he brings the scrapbook out. And he says, hey, do you remember when everybody knew your name at the bar? You remember when you had your stool? You had your spot? The bartender knew what you wanted to eat. She had your order. As soon as she saw your face walk in, she already yelled back to the cook, hey, get that cheeseburger and that fries and get that Budweiser ready, because here comes Jimmy. He's here. So he's taking you through the scrapbook, and he's like, remember those days? Remember the women, the strange women that you used to meet? So I'm trying to tell you that if we succumb to this, if we yield to this intense craving, what's going to happen is this guy's going to end up right where he got delivered out of. Now it's going to be seven times worse. Because he's going to be in greater bondage. And even the Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And the Bible says that stand fast, therefore, in the liberty and wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So here is the children of Israel. Got delivered out of slavery, got delivered out of bondage. Now they're in the wilderness. Things are getting, the heat is on. Come on, the trials are here, the temptations are here, they're already complaining, they're murmuring, and they're like, oh, we remember the fish that we ate freely in Egypt when we were in captivity. We remember the fish. It like this supersedes over all the captivity. It's insane how people do this. I am not impervious to this. I have found myself falling for this bait in times past as well. So watch this. We remember the fish that we ate freely in Egypt. Look, and he goes on, the cucumbers. They talk about the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. But look at this. But now our whole being is dried up. Wow. Our whole being is dried up, and there's nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. God was providing supernatural provision. in the form of manna from heaven. And these people are like, yeah, that's nice, God. I know you brought us out of Egypt. I know you brought us out of bondage. I know you brought us out of captivity. But we really don't want this manna because we want the fish and the leeks and the onions and the garlics and the garlic. Let me put this in modern vernacular. Yeah, Lord, I appreciate you saving me from hell and saving me from alcoholism, saving me from drug addiction, saving me from fornication, saving me from STDs, saving me from death, literally. But here's where it gets in trouble. But man, I miss those days of partying. I miss those days of sleeping around. I miss those days that I was able to indulge my flesh. And notice they said this when their entire being was dried up. Nobody makes these kind of proclamations when they're saturated in the Holy Ghost. It's when they're dried up. I'm telling you, if you let yourself dry up in your walk with God, you will find yourself longing for the very things that God sets you free from. And listen, here's the dangerous part. If you don't nip that in the bud, this will be a progression into full-blown captivity. And then you'll find yourself, again, like I said, it'll be seven times worse. You'll go right back into bondage. And it'll be seven times harder to get you out of this stuff again. I know nobody talks about this anymore. Nobody preaches on this anymore because this is a message. This is like an old school message that I grew up cutting my teeth on this kind of preaching. And I feel like we need to talk about this more because there's good brothers and sisters out there that we need to pull them out of this type of bondage and this kind of captivity. So now we go to Numbers 14. Now look at this. This is the same group of people. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and they cried. I mean, they are just weeping and crying and the nostalgia is just there. And all the people wept that night and all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we would have died in the land of Egypt or if only we had died in the wilderness. Wow, guys. Wow. Think about how bad it must have been. How uncomfortable are they? How tested are they that they would dare to make such a statement? For 400 years, these jokers cried out to be delivered, and now they're weeping and crying because it's not easy. It's not a road. Come on. It's not a road paved in tulips and daisies and ice cream and gummy bears and everything's smooth and everything's dandy. There's never any trials. There's never any testing. But because they're being tempted, they're being tried, they're being tested. It's hot, it's sweaty, it's blistering. We don't have anything to drink. We don't have fish. We don't have leeks and onions and garlics. And we got to eat this stupid manna that God is supernaturally providing for us. That they're saying all this stuff. And they're so dried up that they're actually to the point where they said, you know what? It'd have been better if we just died in our bondage. Then they even went farther and said, listen to this. Why has the Lord brought us out of this land to fall by the sword that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. So now watch this. Oh, I'm going to preach right here. Listen, you know what happens when a church dries up? When a church and its congregation dries up, there's no longer the anointing there. The presence of God's not there. They reject the Holy Spirit. They reject the gifts of the Spirit. They reject the fire of God. They reject the supernatural of God. When they start rejecting God to the point where they're having church as normal, and he's standing at the door and knocking, saying, if you will open and come and let me. See, I've heard preachers for years preach that that's a representation of Jesus standing at the door of your heart and knocking on the door of your heart. And if you'll open that door, then he'll come in and sup with you. Listen, that Bible verse has nothing to do with your heart. I know that's going to break somebody's heart right there. That's going to shatter your denominational tradition. But that is not what that is saying. You go read that in the context of the seven churches of Asia. And one of those churches, the Bible literally says that Jesus himself is standing at the door of this church, knocking on the door, trying to come into the church. But the church, come on, doesn't even want him in the service. The church is good with out him. No, thank you, Jesus. We have our programs. We have our people. We have our platforms. We have our smoke and fog machines. We have all of our instruments. We have our traditions. We have everything lined up. We have all the bells and whistles. We have the entertainment. We have everything we need. We don't need you. We can do it without you. No, thank you. Please go on somewhere else, because every time you come into the service, you wreck everything. You mess everything up. You start flipping tables over. You start commanding people to repent and get right and all this other nonsense. So we don't need you. If you can stand out there, I know you're knocking at the door, but we like to have a form of godliness, and we're going to choose to deny the power thereof. Oh, I come by to tell you today, friends, that when a church dries up on the inside, that one of the first signs that you have a dead, dried up church is watch the church turn on the shepherd. Mm-hmm. Because the Bible says the children of Israel, when they became dried up, they began to turn. They, first of all, they complained against God. They began to make all kinds of ridiculous statements against God and accusing God of pulling them out of Egypt just to kill them out in the wilderness. Then they shifted gears and they started blaming the shepherd that was shepherding them. They started blaming Moses. And they said, we don't want this Moses guy anymore. Even though he led us out of captivity, he's not giving us what we want. And he's not tickling our ears. And he's not giving us what we desire. So what we're going to do is we're going to vote him out. And we're going to vote somebody in that's going to lead us and tickle our ears. Am I preaching to somebody today? Perhaps you're a part of that dead, dried up, come on, church. Perhaps you're one of the dead, dried up people. And that's okay if you are. We're not here to condemn you. We're here, come on, to break that dry spell. We've come to break that famine today. And we're praying that the rain of the Holy Ghost come on you today. And listen, and if you're dried up, it's guaranteed that nostalgia is knocking on your door and trying to remind you of the good old days. Look at this. Even Isaiah gives us some insight about this. Look what he says in Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. Do not remember the former things. I want you to repeat this tonight. Come on, repeat it. I know somebody's going to think you're crazy because you're sitting at your office, you're sitting in your other room, you're sitting in the car. Repeat this. Do not remember the former things. Watch this. Nor consider the things of old. Why? Because God says, behold, I will do a new thing, and it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Oh, come on. I'm talking to somebody tonight. Somebody's in that dry spot. Somebody's in that dry spell. Somebody's in that wilderness. Somebody's entire being is dried up. And nostalgia, the devil's come and he's brought the scrapbook and he's warning you of the good old days and the time that you were able to sin freely and had no conviction. It was before the days of that you got saved. It was before you got set free. And he's waving that bait in front of you. But come on, God's Spirit comes by today. The Holy Spirit is coming by today saying, don't remember those things of old. Don't remember those former things. God can do a new thing again. He can bring it forth. He can spring it forth. He can make a road in your wilderness, and he can make a river in your desert. Listen, God, one touch from heaven today, right now, right here today in this podcast, you can lift up your hands and we're going to pray. And I pray that God would renew your strength. God would give you a fresh filling of the Holy Ghost. He would saturate you in the Spirit of God today so you can break this off of your life. Listen, I'm almost done. We're not going to go long today. We're not going to go long today. Let me tell you, listen, this is what I felt in my spirit, and this this may apply to you and it may not, but I would venture to say I'd almost, if I was a betting man, and I'm not, but if I was, I would put a lot of chips in the table in the middle on what I'm about to make this statement here. And this is this, that one of the greatest baits when it in regards to nostalgia, one of the greatest, I should say instruments, if I would make some clarity on this, one of the greatest instruments that becomes a hook that Satan will hook you, because it's his bait, right? He's going to wave this. This is one of the greatest lures or instruments that he will use. Ready? And it's in the form of music. Are you hearing me? Why music is one of the most powerful instruments that Satan can use to get you a nostalgia. Think about it, friends. You could be out at a department store. You could be at a restaurant. You could be anywhere, and a song will come on. Now, again, depending on your age, if you were born in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, whatever the case would be, in your era, whatever that music is, whatever relates to, watch this, to a sentimental and wistful, affectionate time in your past where there was a period or place where there was personal associations with that music. It reminds you of your wedding. It reminds you of, come on, it reminds you of the times that you had with a sibling, with a parent, that maybe they're gone. It reminds you of good times, and it reminds you of bad times. Okay? Now, the good memories are good. There's nothing wrong with that. But what happens, oh yeah, let me talk about this. What happens when Satan uses music as a bait or an instrument to reel you back into his captivity? For example, here you are and you were in a relationship for years and you swore you were going to marry this individual. You lost your virginity to this individual. You had all the plans laid up. But then, come on, because neither one of you were saved, neither one of you were serving God, the cares of life, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life crept in and pulled you apart and separated you. Now you're heartbroken. Now you're devastated. You don't know if you can live without them. You can't function without them. Watch this. So everywhere you go, for years, 1 year, 2 years, possibly 3 years, everybody's different. Everywhere you go, you smell a fragrance and it reminds you of that individual. Nostalgia. You hear a song that was your song that was played at your prom. It was played during intimate moments with that individual or good times that you had. There's songs that are connected to that, nostalgic. You go to certain restaurants, you go to certain places, you do certain things, you play certain games, you watch this, you go to certain movies, you see a movie on. Well, that I remember going to the movie for the first time and seeing that movie when I was with that individual. So therefore, it brings back those memories. Now, we're all going to be succumbed to that at one point or another, but watch this. But it's what you do with those thoughts. Oh, come on. If you are saturated in the Holy Ghost, you're prayed up, you're in the Word, you're in fellowship with other believers, you're on fire for God, you got the oil in the lamp, then you will know immediately, I need to cast down that imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. But on the other hand, if you're backslid, dried up, and walking in a season of barrenness, where you're not in fellowship with God, you are very quick to entertain that. So what you'll do is you'll go. You hear that song out there and you're sitting there at the restaurant and you hear this song playing. And even though you're physically there, your mind is gone back 15 years ago, 20 years ago. Now you're with that individual. You're acting out these things in your mind. You're doing these things. And now, you know what's happening? All your emotions, come on, are invested in this. Your flesh is invested in this. So you know what's going to happen? That is going to lead to bad things. Now, you could take that scenario and you could apply that to all other kinds of nostalgia. Again, we've got a whole vast audience here that's watching and listening. And again, and there, these nostalgic thoughts can be connected to things like drugs. It can be connected to alcohol. It can be connected to fornication. It can be connected to former marriages, people, abuse, this, that. And Satan will take advantage of this and bring you into captivity. And I want to tell you something. Can I testify about me? The main instrument that Satan tries to get me with as far as nostalgia is the very thing I'm talking about right now, and it's music. It's music. I grew up, again, I am 47 years of age. So my era of music was the late 80s and the 90s. Now Satan has a way, watch this, to convince you that it's okay to listen to secular music, watch this, as long as it is not promoting inherently things that are evil. Lust, perversion, they're not swearing, they're not doing these things. So there's no cussing, there's no swearing, there's no perversion, there's no adultery, there's none of this. So therefore, there's nothing wrong with this. We can listen to this, right? Because after all, there's nothing wrong with it. But I want to remind you, this is very interesting. Listen to me. If we were to do an evaluation on the artist behind the songs, behind the music, who is the Lord of their life? Oh, this is going to get deep right here. Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And out of the heart comes lust, adultery, idolatry, greed, malice, bitterness, resentment, hatred, anger. All out of the heart, these things come and defile a man. Not what goes into him, not with the foods you eat, not these things. It's what comes out of a man. So listen to me. If there is a lot of debate in theological circles that Lucifer, before he became Satan, when he was in heaven, when he was with God, he was called the anointed cherub. He's the only cherub that was called the anointed cherub. If you go read the book of Ezekiel and the book of Isaiah, it talks about how there was instruments of praise that was created in him. In his very being was instruments, specific instruments. So there is much speculation. And again, I cannot emphatically prove this to you, but there's a lot of scholars out there, biblical scholars and theologians, that hold to this belief that there is a very good probability that Lucifer may have been the lead worshiper in heaven. Because you do know there's music in heaven. You do know, I can show you in the book of Revelation, where there's angels, countless angels before the throne room of God singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." There is going to be music in heaven. There's going to be singing in heaven. And again, there is speculation that in times past, before the fall of Adam, you can go to the book of Job, which, by the way, is dated to be the oldest book in the Bible. Not Genesis, Job, because in the book of Job, it explains how that God created the morning stars and the sons of God. Okay, I'm getting a way deep thing here, but I got to explain this to you. These were these angels of God that were with God. This was before any human being was created. And then your Bible says that pride entered the heart of Lucifer. He began to make, I believe it's 7 I am statements that got him booted from heaven. Jesus said, "I saw Satan cast from heaven like lightning." He said, seven I wills. I will be like the Most High God. I will exalt my throne above God. I will become like the Most High God. There are 7 I wills. I believe it's in the book of Isaiah. And he says, there's these 7, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. And Jesus, come on. But God said, he said one time, you won't. And boom, he got booted from heaven. But here's the point. Ready? If you've got an individual, listen to this. Music, oh, this is deep. This is deep. Write this down. Music has the ability to create atmospheres. Let me say that again. Music has the ability to create atmospheres. And watch this. Depending on what type of atmosphere is created, it can bring people out of bondage or it can bring people into bondage. Oh, come on. Listen, this is worth the whole message right here. This is going to set somebody free right here. Some of y'all can't get free from things like nostalgia because of this very thing right here, this issue, and it's music. See, I can take you to the Old Testament where King Saul had demons. Your Bible said, what did he had? Seven spirits that was on him. And David showed up playing a harp, if I'm not mistaken. It's been a while since I've studied that. He played a harp, a stringed instrument. And when David played the song, when he played music, because David was anointed of God, he had the Spirit of God working through him. Yahweh was the Lord of David's life. He was submitted to him. So out of the abundance of David's heart, and through the music that he played, he created an environment that set Saul, temporarily relieved Saul of these demons. Oh, come on. That's why you can go. Listen, I can go to a church and I can distinguish and discern by the Holy Spirit whether the people on the platform are truly submitted to God or not. Because what comes out of them, my spirit man can distinguish it. My spirit man can discern it because I can feel the Holy Ghost on it. I can feel the anointing on it. I can feel the liberation on it. But on the other hand, I've been to some churches where there are nothing more than quote unquote Christian entertainers up there on the platform that are getting a paycheck to entertain the people in the congregation. There's no anointing on them. There's no prayer life. There's no presence. And a lot of them are, when they leave that platform, they're going out there in the green room and they're getting drunk. They're smoking pot and they're listening to music that's full of the devil. And then they're coming up around the platform in the name of Christianity and with a title over the church. And what is coming out of them is going on the congregation. And then you wonder why the people in that church can't get set free, can't get liberated, can't feel the Holy Ghost, and can't get healed and delivered and all these other things. Oh, I'm preaching better than you're listening today. I'm trying to tell you today, I hope this is going to set some people free today. So listen, let me go back to me. I'm telling you, I can't tell you how many times that I would pick this up. I would start listening to some 90s. I would turn on 90s XM. Well, and I would even play this stupid game where, well, this game or this song's not that bad. It doesn't have any cussing in it. It's a quote unquote love song. All the while the Holy Ghost is like, you need to turn this. Don't listen to this. And even my wife's like, why are you listening to this? I'm like, and you know what? You know what I wanted to, what I should have said, listen, was, well, this is nostalgic for me. It brings me back to good times and happy times. And then the Holy Ghost takes me to the side. And it's like, yeah, those good times and those happy times were filled with a lot of things that were in bondage. So I'd have to repent, and then I would go through a season and I'd pick it up again, and then I would repent and I would pick it up again, and then I would repent and pick it up again. Am I talking to anybody else listening today? So let me close with this. I know, God forbid. I can hear it now. Well, Brother Ricky, if I give up this, or if I give up the music, I don't listen to this anymore, if I don't watch these kind of movies anymore, if I don't run with this crowd anymore, and I can't do these things because it fuels that nostalgia and it just gets into bondage, what are the people? I'm going to become, quote, weird. I'm going to become, quote, peculiar to everyone around me. I know it's a novel idea, isn't it? Look at this. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. There's another verse that calls us We are a peculiar people. Then look at this, verse 11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims. You do know that, right? Listen, this home is not our world. We are pilgrims and sojourners. We are passing through. Listen to what he says here. Listen what Peter says. Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Let me say that again. Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Friends, that's what we're talking about tonight. So look, I'm not going to tell you it's not going to be easy. I'm not telling you today it's going to be easy. It's going to be very difficult. It's going to be difficult to break these things off of. Listen, the children of Israel, friends, they were brought out of Egypt, but the problem is they still had Egypt in them. Some of y'all still has Egypt in you, and that's what we're trying to do tonight. We're trying to shine that spotlight on you and assess this today. This isn't a self-examination message tonight. And say, praise God that God delivered you out of Egypt. Praise God that your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise God that God set you free. But listen, are you struggling in the flesh? Are you going through cycles of sin and bondages and addictions? And I'm willing to bet it all stems from when you go when you come into a dry season and a dry place where you are, let's call it what it is, where you're backslid, and then you entertain nostalgia, and when nostalgia comes in and you yield to those intense cravings of that, you find yourself right back into this bondage. Listen, I want to show you this. This is 1 Peter chapter 4. Beloved, this is verse 12, 1 Peter 4. We're in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, okay? Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Listen to this. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and God rest upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. Then you go up here to, let me go a little bit further up here. Let's go up here to verse three. Look what he says. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. We've spent enough time in Egypt. That's when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, rivalries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. Look at this. In regard to these, they think it strange that you don't run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. But they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Friends, do I got anybody tonight I don't want you answering this altar call if you're not serious about this. I need to speak to the people that are serious tonight, and you recognize that this is you. You've been brought out of Egypt. You've been brought out of darkness into his marvelous light, but you have found yourself entangled with the yokes of bondage. You're entangled again with the yoke of bondage because you have been sitting around at the coffee table, having a cup of coffee with Satan, looking through the scrapbook of your life as he's weaving nostalgia to you. Oh, it feels so good to think about the good old days. Oh, this is great. Yeah, oh, those were great days. And your heart flutters a little bit, and you get the little goosebumply feelings. And because you're just, even though you're sitting there at the physical table, oh, your mind's all the way back with so-and-so. Your mind's back at that bar. It's back at the club. It's back with that substance. It's back with this. It's back with that. And Satan's like, oh, don't. And I'm telling you, he is playing you like a fiddle. And he said, oh, he's pulling on your heartstrings. Oh, don't you remember that? Don't you? Long for that. Remember how good it felt. Remember the pleasures. Remember you didn't have to worry about any of this. You weren't convicted about this. Oh, come on. You can come back. It's okay. God will understand. Just come back to this. If there's anybody tonight and you recognize that this is you and you're in this position, and you're ready to count the cost, you don't care what your people think. You don't care what your coworkers think, your neighbors think, your quote-unquote friends think, your family thinks, and you say, I am ready to put the cross before me and the world behind me. And maybe you're like Brother Ricky, and you struggle with, and it may not be music for you. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's smoking cigarettes. Maybe it's drinking alcohol. Maybe it's doing some type of a drug. Maybe it's hanging out in the bars or the strip club. Or pornography, or whatever it is. Whatever it is, I'm telling you, the antidote for this is a fresh filling of the Holy Ghost. We've got to break this dry spell off of you. And here's how we're going to do it. I want everybody under the sound of my voice. If you're serious, I don't want people patty caking. And if you're, I might be, well, I'll see if it's right. No. No, we need people that are, if you're serious about this, you recognize yourself. I'm telling you, I believe God's going to touch you tonight. I want you to answer this. I know we're not in a church service, but God can touch you right there where you're at. He's not bound by walls. He's not bound by time and restrictions. He can walk through walls. He's known for walking through walls. He's known for walking on water. He's known for standing in fiery furnaces and manifesting himself as the Son of Man. Come on, he's known for showing up in a lion's den and sending an angel and shutting up the lion's den. We have a God who can meet you right where you're at if you are diligently seeking him. He said he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him tonight. If that's you, here's how you're going to break this dry spell. Number one, the Bible says in Acts chapter 3, repent therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out and that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And you say, well, Brother Ricky, I've already repented of my sins and I'm born again and I'm saved, but I'm just backslid. Well, listen, you don't get refreshing unless there's repentance. Okay? So you're going to have to repent. I know that there's some false teachers out there that told you you don't have to repent anymore because you repented 40 years ago and you just need to repent one time. And even though you're backslid, you know you're living in sin, you know you're doing these things. I'm telling you today, I'm telling you what the Bible says, repent therefore. And if you don't repent, then times of refreshing is not going to come from the presence of the Lord. But he says, if there is repentance, there will be refreshing. So you want refreshing? You want to break the dry spell? Brother Ricky's asking you today, lift up your hands where you're at. If you're able to lift up your hands, if you're driving, you can't lift up your hands. Come on, just come into agreement with me in your heart, in your mouth. Say, thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, whatever you got to do. Come into agreement with me and begin to, come on, right now where you're at, begin to open your mouth and confess to God. Say, Lord, I recognize today by the Holy Spirit that I have been entertaining the nostalgia of Egypt. I've been entertaining the things that you brought me out of. I've been entertaining going back to the bars, back to the clubs, back to the drink, back to the smoke, back to the promiscuous sex, back to the adultery, back to those things that were bondage and that brought me into captivity. I've been longing for these and I've had intense cravings for these and I don't even, and it's been so bad that I don't recognize the manna that's fallen from heaven that's here every single day. If that's you tonight, you just need to repent. Open your mouth. Father, forgive us. Lord Jesus, forgive us tonight. Forgive us of these intense cravings. Forgive us to yielding to them. Forgive us for complaining. Forgive us for murmuring. Forgive us of lukewarm living in Jesus' name. Lord, creating us a clean heart and renewing us a right spirit and take not your Holy Spirit from us. God, put an intense craving in us for what is good, what is holy, what is acceptable. Lord, may we crave your word, crave your presence, crave, Lord, your glory in Jesus' name. May you do a great exchange tonight. May you take out of us the desires that the devil has percolated and stirred up in us and stirred up in our flesh. Lord, may these things be crucified tonight. We lay them down at your cross. We lay them down at your feet tonight. Father, you said in your word that if we that you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness if we confess our sins before you. So we confess these things. We lay them down. And Lord, as we confess our sins before you, we ask right now in Jesus' name, Father, I ask that, Lord, as we lay things down, we ask, Father, tonight that you would give us that refreshing, give us that filling up, that you would refill us with the presence of God tonight, the holy fire of God tonight. Lord, light that little fire again. Put oil back in that lamp again. Put that passion, put that desire, put that fervor back in us again. Father, we exchange those foods of Egypt. We exchange those cravings of Egypt. And Lord, may we replace them with the things of God. May we replace them with your presence. Replace them with your anointing. Replace them with the word of God. Replace them with worship. Replace those that nostalgic music, the 70s music, the 60s music, the 80s, the 90s, the rap, the country, the pop music, the heavy metal. Throw that stuff out in Jesus' name. Put off the works of the flesh and put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no remission for sins. Lord, may we do an exchange. We'll get rid of that stuff and we'll put on worship music. We'll put on wholesome Christian music, Lord, that we have discernment of, that the Holy Ghost will speak to us, that we know that we can listen to it, that's good for our soul, that's going to lift us up and build us up and encourage us and take us out. And Lord, you are removing the longing of Egypt from us, and you're filling us up, Lord, with a fresh craving for a living God. As we're continuing in this atmosphere of prayer, guys, I want to just say this statement real quick. David made a statement that was very profound. He said, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Some of you, listen, you just need to get a taste of the fullness of God. Some of your churches that you go in, they don't even give you, listen, they give you the same thing every single week. They give you a hamburger and a bun. They give you a hamburger and a bun. You come next Sunday, a hamburger and a bun. A hamburger and a bun. Listen, God said, listen, when you go to the book of Numbers, God got so fed up with these people, they said, if they want meat, I'm going to give them meat. And your Bible says that these people, that he sent them so much quail that God judged them while they had quail in their teeth. They had quail up to their neck, and God judged them because he said, "You want meat? You want meat? You meat? And you cry out to meat? Here you go. I'm going to give it to the point where you choke on it. You better be careful for the thing that you have that intense craving for, because God may just give you over to it. And then you'll find out real quick that, you know what? I really didn't want that after all. Come on, taste and see that the Lord is good." Y'all believe this tonight? Do you receive this? Come on, receive this word tonight. Get filled up. Father, fill tonight with a fresh fire of the Holy Ghost, fresh anointing, a fresh walk, a new walk, and Lord, you make all things new. I stand on Isaiah 43. "Behold, I make all things new." Father, you said that you would make a desert you would make a river in the middle of the desert. You would bring a spring and a well come forth out of a dry place. So Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're transforming dry, barren people into, come on, people that has the in their bellies, is out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living water tonight. In Jesus' name. Come on, you receive this tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Listen, guys, again, thank you for so much for taking the time to be on here. Again, intimeheadlines.org, intimeheadlines.com. Right there, our free app, available Apple, Android. Get it today. Hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away. Listen, if this ministry blesses you and you want to give back, and I pray you become a monthly partner, it is through generous supporters like you that we're able to continue to do what we do. Again, everything is free. No merch, no subscription fees. The app is free. All we ask, you pray about becoming a monthly partner. Some of you, this is your home church. Just be obedient to what the Lord says about giving and receiving, and you'll be blessed. As simple as that. I don't know how to make it any more simpler than that. So listen, if that's you and you want to do that, you can do that two different ways. You can give electronically, which is either through the app or through the main website right there on the screen, or you can give by check or money order at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia 30655. So listen, we love you guys. We appreciate you. All the letters, all the emails, the messages, you know who you are. We get all these, we read them. We pray. Listen, we're going to start praying, and I'm going to give you an update. The next time we come on here, probably Thursday, we're going to be off tomorrow on Wednesday, the 28th, but we'll be right back here on Thursday, the 29th, and we'll be back here on Friday. We've done a poll, and we're trying to find out the best day. Right now, it looks like we're leaning towards Monday. Monday nights, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, we're going to do a live prayer session right here on YouTube. So if you're listening by Facebook, you're listening by Rumble, you're listening by Twitter, Instagram, whatever, you need to come over to our YouTube channel, subscribe, hit that subscribe button on YouTube so that you can be a part of these live prayer sessions. We're not doing this on Telegram, guys. It's way too complicated. We've tried this to go live, and there's too many variables at it. And so we're going to do this on YouTube. We're going to do a live prayer session, and we're going to start this next week. We're just trying to figure out the best day, and it looks like so far that it's going to be Mondays. And if it is, we'll do Monday live prayer, and then we'll do Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday a podcast. So we'll be with you 5 days a week instead of four. So many people will love that. Some people, you can just come in when you can. So listen, we're gonna let you go. We love you. We appreciate you. And I pray until we see you guys on Thursday that the Lord bless you, keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. We'll see you in a couple of days.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.